Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Okay, so John Boehner, Paul Tonko, has invited Mr. Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, to talk to his house in a joint session with the Senate without talking to the President of the United States, who, after all, is in charge of our foreign policy, not even a heads up. Frankly, I'm annoyed with it. Look, I'm Jewish. I have great fondness for Israel. I do. I've been there. I think it's a place that really is important, especially now with the turmoil in the Middle East. But truly, I think that Boehner should have thought this thing through.
I agree with you. I think that that was a major misstep here. When you don't reach out appropriately and work the process in proper accord, I think that certainly the Pope's visit is something that expresses how it was done. With a sort of openness. But here, you know, not only was it, not consulting the White House or the Department of State, but it was also done during very delicate negotiations to try to reach to diplomacy to keep what is a very difficult balance alive in the Mideast and, for that sake, for the world. And to put that at risk and to, you know, again, circumvent all these stops along the way, I think that that was a misuse of the House in that regard.
So then, Paul Tonko, the next question is, are you intend to go and listen to him, right, just out of respect?
I'm still working my way through that decision. It's like, I'm very concerned that we're putting our diplomacy, our negotiations at risk.
Yep.
And do you reinforce that, or do you make a statement that we should have done that better? I mean, the gentleman, the prime minister, is still going to make his comments. The world will know what they are. But to have that done in the context of, I think it's done in the context of a campaign.
His campaign.
His campaign.
But also disrespect for our president.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you can't show that kind of disregard in the process. I just think, again, there's a human dynamic there that can't be denied and shouldn't be tampered with in a political orchestrated kind of way. And that politically orchestrated way is one that, you know, will perhaps find him attacking our stance in the negotiations. It's just not a good use of an invitation to appear before a joint session of Congress. And so I'm working through that decision and determining what I believe will be the best response. But suffice it to say, they're difficult negotiations, and to have put politics ahead of soundness here is disturbing.
While we're on the subject of speeches to joint sessions of Congress, I see that Pope Francis is scheduled to address Congress in September. Is that exciting?
It is exciting. I think that, you know, there are a number of people, Catholic and non-Catholic, Christian and non-Christian, that have talked about the impact that this Pope has made in his very short tenure to date. His inclusiveness, his humility, his reminding everyone not just what the Catholic tenets may be, but what faith in general teaches us, to be there for the marginalized, for those pushed to the perimeters of society, to speak to social and economic justice. I mean, he lives this. Not only preaches it, he lives it. And I think to have the order of greatness that he portrays and personifies entering into a connection, a very powerful connection with the members of Congress, hopefully that will resonate in a way that speaks to our senses, because I'm really concerned about the lack of social and economic justice that's not addressed in the policy that we're advancing in the halls of government in Washington.
Let me switch to an entirely different subject. I saw, I think, out in West Virginia, that yet another railroad car had dumped its stuff. There had been fires. And I'm wondering, since we have a major controversy here in Albany as to whether we should have all of those filled railroad cars with oil down by the port where, frankly, some of the poorest people in Albany live. And so what do you make of all of that?
Well, you know, it's poorest people in communities in general, because there's a lot of miles of rail that run through the 20th Congressional District, oftentimes through some very poor neighborhoods. And, you know, I know that the Department of Transportation at the federal level, through Secretary Fox, is looking at promulgating the rules and regs that will make it more difficult and more stringent oversight as it relates to the shipment of Bakken crude. That's important. But I think it begs our reforms of energy policy, a bigger picture that speaks to this transportation issue along rail or pipeline. Either poses certain dangers. But I think the big question here is energy transformation. Just what are we doing with our energy policy? How long are we willing to endure this insatiable thirst for fossil-based fuels? And some of this transport is related to some of the most polluting power that takes more energy to pump from the ground, and we're going to cause more pollution.
Okay,
so I think energy policy in general needs to be addressed.
Okay, if we can't do it by pipeline and we can't do it by rail car, how important is that we do something?
I think the something is to transition us to renewables, to alternative technologies.
How long?
To natural gas dependency.
You're the real expert on this, Paul Tonko.
Everybody knows it. Well, look, Jimmy Carter suggested decades ago that we should do this. So the sooner we start, the better. But I think we can transition to a pretty sound mix that's a cleaner burning mix in a matter of a decade. You know, you do need some of these... you know, we're going to need a certain amount of mix that will include fossil-based fuels. But the sooner we start, the better off we are. And if we can have stringent, more stringent regs that guide the process of transport of oil along rail or pipe, you know, so be it. But I do believe it begs the debate here for and the policy transformation for energy generation.
There will be people listening. We only have a minute, but there'll be people listening who say, ah, come on, you know, it can't be done.
Oh, you know what? It can't be done, and it is usually the response to the fact that the oil industry has such deep pockets. And, you know, we have got to get bold here in our efforts to transform. We have to step up against the giants of the industry and say, look, it's time for greening up our energy policy. It's time for cleaner energy alternatives. And we have them. And we have them with every step of improvement that's made in nanoscience, with lighter materials for wind turbines, where you get more bang for the buck, to geothermal research that's being done, all sorts of research that should be done on solar film for solar energy sake, so that we can, again, get more bang for the buck. But, you know, we have the intellectual capacity as a nation, and I just beg we use it for the sake of our energy consumption and our generation.
Always great to talk to the always smart, and I do mean that, Paul Tonko. Paul, thanks for being here. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you, Alan.